And we're holding on Chof Zayin Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom, middle of the Mishnah. We started talking about a number of drushas that were said boy by yoim on the day when, on the day or during the period when Amir was deposed as Nasi and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed. So we had one drusha from Rabbi Akiva or two drushas from Rabbi Akiva about the Soita, which is why it comes in and on the Sechta, and then the Mishnah had digressed to mention a number of other drushas of his. So now here's another one, not from Rabbi Akiva, but from one of his, from a Talmud named Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanos. Now you have Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanos. This is Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanos, and later on Rabbi Yeshua called regular Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania calls him a Talmud of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. So evidently he's not a brother of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanos because he belongs to a later generation. Apparently, he could, of course, be somehow from the same family, a nephew or a great nephew or whatever of Rabbi Eliezer, or even a grandson. It says that Rabbi Eliezer had a son named Hurkanos. But it's also possible, of course, that he was just unrelated and the name Hurkanos was just a common name back then. Anyway, Boy Bayoim Darish Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanos. On that day or during that period, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanos gave the drasha as follows: Iyev served Hashem only out of love. You have, of course, the serving Hashem out of love and out of fear. Now, of course, you know, when you have Alfi Kabbalah, Alfi Chassidus, you have tremendous levels of love and fear. But the most basic one is that fear would be that love would be the person is doing because he wants to be close to Hashem, and fear would be, it could be, for example, where he's fearful that Hashem would punish him if he doesn't, or it could be a higher level of love, which is a higher level of fear, which is like he's afraid to disobey Hashem because he realizes the effect it'll have on his neshama, or because even he's embarrassed. You have higher levels of yira even where he's embarrassed to act in a certain way in front of Hashem. Whatever the case, the point is Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanos is saying that Eov's level of serving Hashem was out of love. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Hein yiktaleni loy ayach." He says, even if Hashem will kill me, still I will hope for him. So in other words, he's saying that even so I'm never going to separate from Hashem. I'm still going to look forward to being close to Hashem. So obviously then he's not doing yira. He's not doing from fear, at least from the lowest level of yira, fear of punishment, because on the contrary, he's saying no matter what, even if Hashem punishes me, I'm still going to stay close to Hashem. V'adayin adav shokul, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanos goes on to say, still though, the way the pasuk is phrasing it, it seems a little bit ambiguous. You could still say one way or the other. The word in the pasuk is loy ayachel, but you actually have a kriuksiv over there. Loy, it's written loy with an aleph, and it's pronounced loy with a vav. So what does it mean then? So loy ani mitzapeh or any mitzapeh. Does he mean that I will continue to look forward to being close with Hashem, even though he's punishing me? Or does he mean I will not? He's saying, in other words, that at that point I'm going to give up on being close to Hashem because he's punishing me and making life difficult for me. So what would it be? A couple of Achronim talk about the possibility that maybe you could say the Gemara is not really focusing so much on the Kriuksiv, but rather it's focusing more on is he saying it as a statement or as a rhetorical question? So he's saying loy with a vav to him, but is he saying it? He may be saying it as a statement. If he's killing me, should I continue to look forward to him? Or is he saying that, no, I will, as a statement, I will continue looking forward to him? Well, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanos continues, Talmud Loimar, therefore the pasuk continues, a different pasuk that Eev says in one of his speeches, Ad Egva, until I die, loy osir tu mosi mimeni, I will not take away my tmimus, my wholesomeness that I follow Hashem wholly, I won't take that away from myself. So we see now that's obviously a statement. That you can't say is a question or anything like that. And there's no kriyoksiv over there. Malamed shemei ava asa. Therefore, that teaches us that the earlier pasuk also means that Eiv was serving Hashem out of love rather than out of fear. So, like we had before, the reason why, now usually, we in the Mishnah so far, we've been bringing in drushes from bringing in drushes from Rabbi Akiva. I mean, many people were saying drushes at that time, and the Mishnah is not bringing them in. But since this one, Rabbi Yeshua's reaction to it was similar to his reaction to one of Rabbi Akiva's drushes before. Therefore, the Mishnah brought it in. So, Amar Rabbi Yeshua. So, Rabbi Yeshua. This is Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya says, "Mi yigala ofa meinecha Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai." Like he said before, if only someone could take away the dust from your eyes, Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai. In other words, if only you could have tchias amesim right now and see what's going on. So he said, "Darish kol yamecha." You used to darshan during your lifetime for like Ovid Iyev samakam ela miyira, that Iyev served Hashem only out of fear. Because after all, the pasuk says Shenema Ishtam right away at the beginning of Sefer Iyev when it introduces him. It says Ishtam v'yosher. He was an upright and wholesome person. Yirei Elikim, who feared Hashem, v'ser meira, and stayed away from evil. So that implies, in other words, that he was staying away from evil only because he feared Hashem rather than because he loved Hashem. So that was your drosher of Yechem and Zakkai, but now you should see, Ba'alo Yeshua, Talmud Talmidcha, now you have Yeshua ben Hurkanus, who was a Talmud of your Talmidim. Now, unlike Rabbi Akiva, who we had in the Mishnah earlier, Rabbi Akiva, he called a Talmud of Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai, even though technically he was a Talmud of a Talmud as well, he learned by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Akiva was so great that Rabbi Yeshua called him out of respect, a Talmud of Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai. But here, we're talking about Yeshua ben Hurkanus, who was a much lesser level, so therefore he calls him properly a Talmud of your Talmud. Anyway, so he's teaching Shemei Abba also that Eiv served Hashem out of love, going against what you said out of fear. So either, in other words, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that he's so impressed that Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai, if only you were alive to see this, or he's saying not so much impressed, but he's saying, like, you know what, Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai, if only you were alive to defend your position, because here you have Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus saying differently, and you yourself actually would have said something different, and you would have defended how you said. Marsha refers over here, by the way, to something that he talks about in Bava Basra. In Bava Basra, it talks about where the Gemara has the expression that it's great that what it says about Eiv is greater than what it says about Avraham, because by Avraham Hashem tells him ki yirei lekim ata, whereas by here you have tom v'yoshu yirei lekim v'ser meira, which is more compliments. Marisha explains, of course, Avraham is greater than Eiv. There's no question Avraham served Hashem out of love, whereas here we're saying with Eiv, we're saying either it was out of fear, like Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai said, or even if it was out of love, we're only learning it, it's not so simple to understand that. On the other hand, the fact that it says, Godol Shenema be'Eiv, Yosem Avraham, very simple. By Eiv, it's talking about in third person, in narration, so then it can say all those advantages by Avraham, it's Hashem speaking to him after the Akedah, and therefore he can only say Miktas Shvachai, as we know. It's not that the Gemara there is saying that Eiv is actually greater than Avraham, but more is said about him because there it was said in person. But whether it was Me'ab or Me'ira, that's the two different opinions over here. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. We said in the Mishnah, the first drasha in the Mishnah was Keshem Shamayim Bodkin Oisa Kachamayim Bodkin Oisoi. Just as the water tests the soita, so it tests him. So the Gemara asks Oisoi Laman, which him is the Mishnah talking about? Ilema Labal, do we mean that the water tests the husband as well? And in other words, that if the wife is guilty, then he also his stomach swells up and so forth. Why should that be? Baal my oven, what did the husband do wrong? The chitema. So you're going to answer maybe what Mishnah means is maybe you could say it means that if the husband has an avera, Which again, you have the Machlokas Rashi and Rambam that we've talked about earlier in the Masechta. What kind of Aveira of the husband would prevent the Sota water from taking effect? According to Rashi, it's just if he had relations with her after she became a Sota. If it's according to the Rambam, it's any if he ever did any Bias Asuras. Anyway, you're going to say that maybe it means that if he has such an Aveira, Badkile Maya, maybe the water then will test him and will have an effect on him. There's an interesting idea. Now, why should that be? Why should, just because he had relations with a Sota or had Bias Asuras or whatever, why does the Gemara even think that should have the severe consequences of his stomach swelling up and his thigh falling off and him dying or whatever? And the reason is, because after all, if he did that, and therefore because he did that, the Sota water was not going to work, and yet he brought his wife anyway as if it's going to work and caused Hashem's name to be erased. So the Gemara is thinking that maybe it should have an effect on him. Maybe he deserves to be punished. Yeah. No, we're not talking about here. Now we're talking about the husband of the slave. So the question is, ki ispe oven b'didei mi bad tova maya l'dida. The question is, okay, it's a svara, but after all, if he did an avera, would the water even test her? So what are you going to say? To shame shamayim bod kenosa, kachamayim bod kenosa, just as they test her, they test him, implying, in other words, that it has an effect on him, only if it's going to have an effect on her. But if he did such an avera that prevents the mei sota from working, then it's not going to work for her either. Well, Tanya, we learn on a braisa. The pasuk says, "V'nika ha'ishmei oven." The man will be cleansed of guilt. V'ishai he tisas avona, and that woman will bear her guilt. But the symbol meaning of the pasuk, Rashi explains, is that when she dies as a result of the sota procedure, if she was guilty, the husband shouldn't feel bad that he caused her death. He's innocent of any wrongdoing because he did the right thing by being the kind to her and whatever, and she's the one who bears the consequences. But we also dash in from it. Bizman sho ish menukah me'oven, only when the husband is cleansed of guilt. Ha'isha hi tisas bizman sho ish menukah me'oven amayim bod kinas ishtoi, only then does the water test his wife. Eina ish menukah me'oven, but if he's not cleansed of guilt, if, as Rashi says, he's had relations with her at one point when he wasn't supposed to, or as the Rambam says, if he's had any bias asuras ever since he became an adult, then if he's ever had any bias asuras, then if he's not menukamah and ain't a mayan bokenas ishtoi, then the water doesn't test his wife. So obviously the Mishnah can't mean osoi, referring to the husband, because why should either we should say the husband shouldn't deserve any punishment at all, or even if he does, fine, he may deserve a punishment, but his wife is not getting the punishment, and therefore, and the Mishnah is saying that it's equal, when she gets it, then he gets it. But if it's not working, if a mei sota is not working for her because of his avedus, then it's not going to work on him either. So the elal boil. So you're going to say that the Mishnah means that the boil, that the one that she was alone with, and apparently if the mei sota has an effect on her, then he was mezana with her. So you're telling me that the water is also going to cause him from long distance to also suffer the same consequences.
Well, the break her if he did have ears.
The point, no, we don't know for sure that she did. That's the whole point. So the process is to see whether she did or not. So now we're saying, right, so we're saying, that's what we're saying. So we're saying that now we're going to say the oisoy of the Mishnah refers to the boil. If in fact she's guilty, then the boil is going to suffer the same consequences. Well, the Gemara says, listeni kidikatani sefer. Well, then let the Mishnah use the expression like it does in the sefer. Kashem shasur la baal kachasur la boil. Just as later in the Mishnah it clearly uses the word boil. So he also should say, Kashem shamayim boitkin oisa, kach boitkin as a boil. And then we don't have the question in the first place who the oisoi is. Why is the Mishnah using the word oisoi, which now is ambiguous, and you have to figure out whether it means the husband or the boil? Yeah. So the one answer is, well, olam al boil. In fact, it does mean that the boil is going to suffer the consequences. But I need a ton of oisa. But because the Mishnah used the word oisa, tani oisoi, therefore to go together with oisa, it uses oisoi. Sefer, the idea to turn a bow, but on the sefer, since it uses the word the husband, turn a boil, so it mentions boil, because in other words, again, the Mishnah was baal peh, and therefore, as much as possible, it tries to use the lashon in a way that people will be able to remember. So oisa goes with oisoi, and baal goes with boil. But in fact, both parts of the Mishnah are referring to the same man, that the water tests him, and she is also to him, the boil.
I heard someone saying that they used to learn Gemara with Nigun and with the rhyming.
So there is that also. They were learning Mishnayos with a Nigun, and therefore they have to make sure that the words are not changed too much, right? Right. So now we said in the Mishnah Shenema Uvo'u Uvo'u. So we said that how do we know that the water has an effect both on her and on the boil? Because the pasuk says Uvo'u Uvo'u. So now the question is, do we mean the fact that it says twice in the psukim the word uvo'u, or you have one once where the kohen warns her and says uvo'u, this water will come into your stomach and have an effect if you're guilty, and then a few psukim later uvo'u va, they will come into her and they'll have an effect? Does the Mishnah mean that, or does the Mishnah mean the fact that it could have said bo'u and it said uvo'u with the extra vav? So uvo'u. Ba'u uvo'u ka'amar or uvo'u uvo'u ka'amar? That's the question. Is the Mishnah deriving this concept that just as the water tests her, so it tests the boil? Is it learning it from the fact that it says that it could have said ba'u and instead it said uvo'u? Or is it the fact that it says twice, sir, that it says twice uvo'u? So the Gemara says Toshma, and well, the Mishnah continues, Kishem sha'asur la'ba'al ka'asur la'boil shenem nitma of vinitma. Well, the continuation of the Mishnah is, just as she's also to the husband, so she's also to the boil. And because it says nitma of vinitma, meaning it could have said nitma, and instead it said vinitma with a vav. So therefore, so that shows that further, that shows that the next Durasha in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva's Durasha, is learning from the vav. So the same thing, we could assume that the original Durasha is also based on the extra vav. Well, the Gemara asks, actually, with that one also you have to ask, Va'adayim Tiboy, really, you still have the question, Nitma'a Ka'amar, does Rabbi Akiva mean we're learning from the fact that it says the word Nitma'a twice, or Nitma'a V'Nitma'a Ka'amar? So this is the kind of thing the Gemara sometimes calls Arvach Arvat Sarech. Your guarantor needs his own guarantor. You're trying to prove from the second case of the Mishnah, from the second Jerusha in the Mishnah, that we're doubting from the Vav, but actually is that Jerusha in fact from the Vav, or is it rather from the fact that it says Nitma twice? And in that case, maybe the first one is also from the fact that it says Ruvo twice. So the Gemara says, Toshma, well, we can answer that. Midikotani Sefer, because the Mishnah continues, after it brings Rabbi Akiva's drosha about Kashem Shasur Labal Kachasur Laboil, and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah points out, you should know that Zechariah ben Akatzav learned the same way as Rabbi Akiva, but then the Mishnah goes on to say Rabbi Omer, Shnei Pa'om Namur Maparisha, the Nitma of a Nitma, the fact that it says twice in the Parisha, the word nitma means echa the baal the echa the boil. So one teaches us that she's also to the husband, and the other that she's also to the boil. So therefore, if that's how Rebbe is darshining, miklad Rabbi Akiva vavi kadorish. That implies, therefore, that Rabbi Akiva must be darshining the vavs, because otherwise there's no difference between his Jerusha and Rebbe's. So it must be that, in fact, that is the point. Rebbe is darshining from the fact that it says nitma twice. Rabbi Akiva is darshining from the fact that it could have said nitma, and it said vinitma. So he's not darshining for this purpose the extra nitma. So the Gemara is going to deal with the Gemara is going to deal with now how Rabbi Akiva learns, how Rabbi Akiva versus Rebbe are going to learn the various psukim, what they're going to darshin from each one.
Because one
has an extra vav and the other one has an extra whole word, nitma, yeah.
But they both agree that the word's extra.
Right, well, that's what we have to figure out, right. So, yeah, but the point is, in other words, so now we have our answer. In Rabbi Akiva's second drasha about Kashem Shasur Labal Kahasur Labal, clearly he's learning from the extra Vav, because otherwise he's saying exactly the same thing as Rebbe. Therefore, that tells us that earlier in the Mishnah, when he says Kashem Shamayim Bodkin Oysa, Kachamayim Bodkin Oysa, it must be that also he's learning from the extra Vav rather than from the extra time that it says Uvav. So, the Gemara says, Hilkoch, so it comes out, that Rabbi Akiva, Shita Kroi Ksivi. It comes out, therefore, that according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, there are six Uva'us that we have to learn with. Because actually, besides for the two Uva'us that we mentioned before, there was actually a third Uva'u that it says in the Psukim over there, because actually, the Kohen himself, So you have in the psukim three times it says uvo'u. So like this, you have the kohen warns her, The Kohen warns her, uvo amai ma'ela b'me'ayich. These waters will come into your stomach. Then you have, a couple of psukim later, it says when he gives her the drink, uvo amai ma'orim ma'morim. The water that brings the curse will come into her stomach and be bitter and have its effect. And then after it mentions about bringing the Kohen mincha, it says, if she's tame, and then the water will come into her and itself submitna and so forth. So three times it says uvo'u, and since Rabbi Akiva holds that you gaush in the vavs each time, then it means according to him you have six things to work with. So why do we need three times uvo'u and then three and then the three vavs? So Rabbi Akiva would say like this: chad l'tzavadida, one of them teaches us that Hashem is commanding the water to have its effect on her, and v'chad, and the extra vav on that one, it's the tzavadi day, is that Hashem is also telling the water to tell us that Hashem is also telling the water also have that same effect on the boil, even though he's not the one who drunk it. So one uvo is teaching us that Hashem is telling the water. How does the water work after all? It's only because Hashem tells anything in the world works only because Hashem tells it to do such and such. Hashem put a certain nature into it. Here we're talking about something l'mayim m'derech hateva, even especially that should have an effect on the boil when he didn't even have any contact with the water.
Hashem has to tell about to do that.
No, Hashem has to tell the water. Hashem has to tell everything. Everything in the world happens only because Hashem commands it. So it was saying over here that in other words, Hashem gave a special command. This water that's prepared according to the rules that we learned earlier, should Hashem tells that water go have an effect on that woman because she sinned. And then the Vav teaches us that Hashem is telling the water to do the same thing to him. Next, Chadli Diadida. The next one you have. Then you have a second uvo. The second uvo teaches us that the water will have that effect on her. So the Torah is telling us not only that. So the Torah is telling us Hashem says it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So therefore, so that teaches us that it's actually going to have that effect on her. V'chad la'asiya d'day. And again, under the vav over there is telling us that we'll also have that effect on him.
Two vavs, one that it will happen, that will happen?
No, one that Hashem is saying it will happen, and another one to show that it actually happens. So, you know, it's not, you have many times in Sukkim, for example, where Hashem says, you know, such and such will happen, ani Hashem dibarti, or something to that effect. We have to stress sometimes that we have to know that Hashem says something is going to happen, it's going to happen. So Rabbi Akiva doubts that way. Then you have Chad, then the third pasuk is liyadia dida, is that the kohen has to inform the kohen has to inform the woman before he gives her the water, and in particular what he has to inform her is Tosfos explains he has to inform her about the order in which the mei sota is going to work. We talked about earlier in the Masechta that even though the Kohen when he beswears her, he tells her that it will, he mentions that it'll cause it'll affect the thigh and then the stomach, but in fact it affects the stomach first and then the thigh, because after all it goes into the stomach and only then it spreads to the rest of the body. So he has to inform her of that point, shaloi lahotzi laz, because you don't want her to question the effectiveness of the mayim amarim and say, even as things are happening, that it's all a coincidence or something. People are very good at rationalizing. So yeah, we don't do really with the Masechta. I mean, on the one hand, the Yerech is the one involved in the Aveira first, because first she spreads her leg to make herself available to the boil, and only then is on her beten. But on the other hand, when the water, so therefore that's why at one point he mentions the Yerech first, but on the other hand, it actually goes through the beten first. So the Kohen has to inform her of that point. V'chad, and then another one has to tell us the idea d'day, that the Kohen also has to inform her that the same thing is going to be for the boil, that he also, if she's guilty, then the water is going to affect him in the same way, stomach first, then thigh. The Ramaphosian will explain that actually it doesn't so much mean that he has to inform her. I mean, she's going to die anyway. What do we care if she's Moitzi Laz? But the point is rather that the Marshal learns, that the Marshal says that it means that we inform everybody who's standing. We want them to be aware that it happened in the order, that it's going to happen in a certain order, so that they're not Moitzi Laz. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva says that's what we use, all those six things, the uvo'us and all the vavs, we use them for that. So one... So one set. So again, people are very good at rationalizing.
People are watching, they know exactly what's happening in Sartre's.
I know, but nevertheless, you need to inform them, even though he mentioned in the curse, Yerech first, he has to inform them that actually it's going to be Latzvis Breton, Belanto Yerech, that it's going to be in the order of stomach first, then thigh. Otherwise they might try to rationalize it away. So in short, according to Rabbi Akiva, we use all three uvos and all the vavs. Each of the vavs teaches us the same effect on the boil, and the three of them are one that Hashem says it's going to happen, a second one that it actually happens, and a third one that we inform them of the order in which it's going to happen. The Rebbe, now Rebbe, who doesn't darsh in the vavs, he says, Tlosak Roiksivi. He says, you only have three psukim. So, Chad Tzavav, Chad Lasya, Chad Lidia. So he holds each of them is referring to her. That Hashem says that the water is going to have an effect on her. The water does, in fact, have an effect on her. And the Kohen has to inform her, or as the Maharshal says, the bystanders, that this is the order it's going to happen.
How we know it's going to happen to him?
Bach, so the Rebbe, Kishem Shamayim, Bod Kenosa, Kach Bod Kenosa, Manole. Well, where is Rebbe learning that concept from then that the water has an effect on him? The answer is Naftalim Tanya. He learns it on a different basis. This that it says in a Braisa, when it says, when the Kohen warns her that the water is going to come into you, lots by Sbetin, Volan Pil Yorich, to make the stomach swell and the thigh fall off. So that means, Bitne Vierecha Shel Boil, that refers to the stomach and the thigh of the boil. Now, after Oimer Bitne Vierecha Shel Boil, so you're saying it means that, maybe it means her stomach and her thigh, which after all is how it seems from the context of the pasuk. No, true oima, since it says a few psukim later, but sub sabitna b'naflo yerecha, it says her stomach will swell and her thigh will fall off. Hare bitna b'yerecha shom nivela somer. So there already it says that it's going to happen to her. Umani makayim latzbes betin v'lanto yarech. So what do we do with the words latzbes betin v'lanto yarech? Must be bitne v'yerecha shom boil, that it teaches us that that affects the boil as well. So you don't need, according to Rebbe, you don't need a bunch of different psukim to teach us that Hashem says it's going to happen, and it's going to happen, and the Kohen has to warn. Once it says that it's happening to him like it happens to her, then automatically we don't have to have all the extra vogs to teach us that the same warning and everything is given regarding him. Rashi actually brings this drasha of Rebbe's in the Pasuk. A lot of times, and Mefoshim and Rashi point out that many times Rashi on the Pasuk will bring a drasha, even though it's not a libur de hilchasa. The halacha is usually the halacha would be like Rabbi Akiva against Rebbe. Here, I don't know if it's Negeh Lahalacha because it's two different drashas, but whatever. Anyway, many times though, on Chumash, Rashi will bring the drasha that's more straightforward, even though it's not necessarily the one that's accepted Lahalacha. So here, to understand the way Rebbe does, that bitna v'yirei, that betin and yerech means the ones of the boil, is a lot more straightforward and it's easier for Ben Chumash Lemikra, and therefore Rashi does that.
Rabbi Akiva came first, then came
Rabbi Akiva came first, but that's neither here nor there. The usual rule is halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavei roi. The halacha is usually like Rabbi Akiva against an individual tana. So the Gemara asks the Idach, well, what is Rabbi Akiva doing with those words Beth and Vigerach? Where again, Rebbe is saying from there we learn that they affect the boil, because he's not learning from the Vavs. Rabbi Akiva, who learns that concept from the Vavs, then what does he do with this pasuk? So the answer is demloida la koyin. That would be, we said before, Rabbi Akiva says you have to inform the koyin. The koyin has to inform her, or he has to inform everybody else, the bet and beresha, v'hoder yerech, that first the stomach is going to be affected, and then the yerech, shalom lahoitzi laz amayim amorim, in order that people don't question the effectiveness of the mayim amorim, and say that's just coincidental. So he says that's why you have the repetition of the words Bethan and Yerach. So one teacher tells us the Kohen informs her or informs the bystanders that this is going to be the order, and the other one is that it actually happens in that order. The Idach.
It's very hard. I mean, normally people don't have their stomachs fall out and the Yerach fall out. So but obviously it's happening because everyone's standing watching this whole business.
Nonetheless, though, people are very good at rationalizing things and coming up with excuses when people want an excuse to be able to justify what they're doing. You have a similar thing, for example, it says about Makas Bechoris, Moshe tells Parik, Kachat Sois Alayla, and the Gemara explains, because Shemi Yitzhak showing you two expecting a paroi, because paroi's a swallow just might make a mistake, and they might think it's not exactly chatzos, and they're going to think that Moshe is a liar. The Mefarshim asked on that, what? I mean, every single thing up until now has been happening exactly as Moshe said. And now all the Bechorim are dying, which is something supernatural. And they're going to say that Moshe is a liar because they think it happened at 12:01 rather than 12 o'clock. But the answer is, people are very good at rationalizing. People will grasp on to any scroll to be able to, yeah. So therefore, we don't want to leave them anyhow. Okay. So the Idach, now what is Rebbe's answer to that? It's true, we do have to inform them that it happens in that order so they're not motzi laz. So Rebbe says, fine, but in Cain, lichtiv kura bitna v'yerecha. In that case, the pasuk should have said her stomach and her thigh. Why does it say beten and yerech ibn generically? That means my beten v'yerech shmamina and laboil. So therefore, that must be the pasuk is teaching us there about the boil. Fine. But the Gemara asks, "Ve'em kula l'hoch yudasa." Maybe though the pasuk is only talking about the boil. How do we know that? How do we know it's teaching us anyway about the order in which it works? Maybe it's just teaching us purely the fact that without that, according to Rebbe, we wouldn't even know that the boil was being affected. The answer is, "In ken lichte bit noy v'yerechoy." Just the opposite. Well, then it could have said his stomach and his thigh. My bet in the yerech, shmamin atarti, therefore, Rebbe says you can learn both things from that. The fact that it says bet in yerech generically, we can learn. Therefore, it means both her bet in and yerech and his. Therefore, we can learn that it means hers, and it means that we inform her it's going to, we inform all the bystanders that it's going to be in that order. And then also, it also refers to his, that it's going to happen to him as well. So Rebbe would say we don't need separate psukim for that. The fact that it says beten and yerech like that, rather than saying bitna and or bitnoi and yerecho or yerechoi, teaches us that it applies to both of them. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Omer Rabbi Yeshua kachoy adorish tzachari yacholot tzachari ben akatsav darish in the same way as Rabbi Akiva, that we learn from the extra vav of a nitma. So that's that. So okay, so we've taken care of the matter of Kishem Shamayim Bodkin Oisoi, Kachamayim Bodkin Oisoi. We've explained how Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva use the various psukim for the Jeroshis. They both agree with that concept that the boil is affected. They just argue how we derive from the psukim. Again, ultimately we're saying Rabbi Akiva is darshaning it from extra vav, and Rebbe instead is darshaning it from the words beten and yerech, which we could say are teaching us that, as well as that we inform her and we inform everybody else about the order.
Now, the Zechariah came after Rabbi Akiva?
The Zechariah ben Akatsav was a little bit before Rabbi Akiva. He lived at the time of the Churban. Rabbi Akiva also lived through the Churban, but he wasn't yet one of the great Chachamim at that time yet. So Rabbi Yeshua is informing Rabbi Akiva and everybody else. You should know this Jerusha that you just said, Zechariah ben Akatsav already said it before. But then the Mishnah continued that, so actually that's in connection with the second Jerusha in the Mishnah. Again, we had first, the Mishnah had said Keshem Shamayim Bodkin Oisai, Kachamayim Bodkin Oisai, and we learned from the extra vav of a woe, as we said, Rabbi Akiva learns. Which now, by the way, now that the Gemara has said that Rabbi Akiva is darshaning both all the times it says uvo and the extra vav, now we can say that when the Mishnah is saying shenema uvo uvo, it really means both the fact that it says uvo extra times and the fact that it says vavs. Yeah. Anyway. But then we said, Kishem Shasir Labal, Kachasir Laboil, because it says Nitma of Nitma, Divrei Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yeshua says that you should know Rabbi Chaim and Akatsav Darsh in the same way, and Rabbi learns differently because it says Nitmis Venitma. So, Tanan Abonan, so we learn in a Braisa, Sholosh Pam Hamurim Baparsha Im Nitma. Sholosh Pam Hamurim Baparsha. There are three times it says in the Parsha the concept of her being Tommy. Im Nitma, first you have the Gemara is bringing the psukim. The Gemara is bringing the psukim out of order. The first one is the last one in the psukim. Im nitma, if she became tamei, then the water affects her. That's later on in the parak. The second one is nitma, is earlier on where it says where he warns her where she may have become tamei or not. And the third one is vinitma. The third one is that these are the rules when a woman is mezana and becomes tamei. So three times it says vinitma. Three times it says nitma or vinitma. Rashi also adds there is actually a fourth one. There is actually the Nistar of Ahinitmar, but there Rashi says we're not counting that one, because that one that Rashi says earlier in the Mishnah, we're not including that one, because that one we used back in the first parak to teach us that that if there was one aid that says that she became tamei, then that's it. She doesn't drink the soot or water, and she's also to her husband. So therefore, so we have three other benitmas that we need to darshan. So the kineas isha v'initma, v'hoisei nitma, and ashatiske isha tachas isha v'initma. So those are the three. So what are we doing with all of those? Lama, so what do we have all of them? Echad the baal, v'echad the boyo, v'echad the truma, divir Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva says, one teaches us that she's also to her husband once she becomes a soita. One teaches us that she's also to the boil, and the third one teaches us that she's also to eat truma at this point, even if her husband is a kohen, and or even if she's the wife of a kohen or whatever, the fact that now there's the potential that she had a bia asura makes her also to eat truma. So that's how Rabbi Akiva learns. Om Rabbi Shmuel Kavachomer, but then Rabbi Shmuel says you don't need a pasuk that she would be osur. Now, Rabbi Shmuel seems to be talking about a separate thing. Rabbi Shmuel seems to not directly be addressing what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Rather, he's bringing up a separate point that we can make a kal vachomer that she would be also to marry a kohen. Meaning, if her husband were to die or divorce her at this point, after she becomes a soita, then Rabbi Shmuel is informing us that she would be also to marry a kohen. Now, what does that have to do with what? Well, if she's a grusha, fine. If she's an almana, rather, if her husband died, that she should be also to marry a kohen, because when he died she was a soita. Rabbi Shmuel is now going to learn that from a kal vachomer. Now, what does that have to do with what Rabbi Akiva says? The Gemara is going to deal with that point later. How what Rabbi Shmuel was saying addresses what Rabbi Akiva is saying. So, but Rabbi Shmuel says kal vachomer. Uma grusha shemuteres l'truma. Madach, a woman who was divorced is mutter to go back to eating truma if she was a bas kohen. Okay. As we know that if she had no children with the Yisrael, yeah. Asura lakona, but she's also to marry a kohen. Zusha asura b'truma. In this case, this woman is also to eat truma, as Rabbi Akiva is learning. Ein adin sha asura lakona. Wouldn't it be a kal vachomer then that she's also to marry a kohen, even if her husband died rather than divorcing? And Rabbi Shmuel continues. Ma tamad loymar. So why does the pasuk says that the husband warns his wife and she had become tamei or she had not become tamei? So what does it mean? So im nitma, you have to ask, if we know that she's tamei, lama shosa, then why is she drinking? The whole point of the water is to test and see whether she, by the way, Rashi brings over here that he had a girsa in front of him. Tosfos also brings this. Im kain matam zaymar, but Rashi says that's not the im kain doesn't belong over here. We're not saying the im kain is not a continuation of what we were saying before. It's just we're not asking why it says extra nitmas. We're saying that we're going to go through over here and we're going to explain what the psukim means. Not a, in other words, it is a continuation of the braisa, but it's not a continuation of Rabbi Shmuel's statement. It's rather now the braisa is continuing generically to explain the meanings of the phrases in the pasuk. After that, we're going to get back to what Rabbi Akiva is learning from the three benitmas versus what Rabbi Shmuel is learning, and we're going to discuss the matter of the vobs over there as well. So matam adlemin v'hi nitma v'hi lo nitma im nitma lama shosa. You have to ask, if we know that she became tamei, then why is she drinking? Im lo nitma lama mashka, and if we know she didn't become tamei, then why is he giving her the drink? The whole point is there's a suffix. So why does the pasuk have to mention? Why is the pasuk phrasing it in a way, v'hi nitma or v'hi lo nitma, which implies we know that she became tamei or we know she didn't become tamei? Those are precisely the cases when we don't give her the meisoita, because either we know, because either there's not needed, or either it's not needed, she's already tamei, or there's no reason to give it to her because we have no reason to suspect anything. So magid l'cha pasuk, therefore it means
By the way, as far as Rabbi Shmuel's Kavachomer, Tosfos points out, why don't we say? I mean, you could slog up. What is he saying? That a grusha is mutter to eat truma, but she's also to marry a kohen. So how much more so is soita? So you could answer back. Listen, what about a bas yisrael? She's also to truma. A bas yisrael never got married is also to eat truma, but is mutter to marry a kohen. Fine. Tosfos says what Rabbi Shmuel means is that she's mutter to truma, but the result of the maisa of gerushin makes her also to the kohen. So then over here also the maisa is what makes her also to is what makes her also to the kohen, as opposed to a bas yisrael. There was no maisa; she was born that way. Okay. Anyway. So what it is like this. Magid l'char kosef shas sofek asura. This is where the posik is informing you that that she's also because of the sofek. Once there was kinuri and stira, and now therefore we have a suffix, whether she became tomei, then the Torah is telling us to a certain extent to treat it as a vada. We usually have a suffix d'oraisa as l'chumra. So Tosfos discusses some Tosfos and other Rishonim and Achronim discuss various possibilities, including maybe after all over here, maybe the woman has a cheskes tara. On the other hand, we have Raglai Modover. We said before that once there was Kinri and Stira, there was very strong reason to believe that something happened. And there is a Shita of the Rambam that who says the whole concept of Suffolk Dora. So Tosfos learns, for example, when we say that we have to treat the Suffolk as a Vadai, it means, for example, to the extent that the husband will be punished with Malkus, according to some opinions, if he has relations with her after she became a Soita. Like this, if we only said it's a Suffolk, we would say, look, okay, you know, fine, Suffolk Dora is a Chumra, but not necessarily to the extent that we would give him Malkus. But now when we're saying the Pasuk is telling us Vehini Tmar, Vehilani Tmar, and we're telling us treat the Suffolk as a Vadai, means even to the extent that the husband is going to be punishable if he now has relations with her.
You can't give her a drink.
You can't give her a drink. But the point is, if he has relations with her after she becomes a Soita, no, we're talking about there's a Suffolk. You can give her a drink. That's the whole point. We treat the Suffolk as a Vadai to the extent that the husband is now completely also to her and she to her husband until she drinks the Soita.
He doesn't ruin it by having relations
with her. If he has relations with her, he ruins it. That's what we're saying. But then he's also punishable for those relations because he was over on that. So, to that extent, we consider it like a Vadai. We've talked about before. Some lumdus in it, for example, we don't completely treat it like a vadai as far as dinim mominus. We don't treat it as a vadai. We said it, we learned a few days ago, it's only a suffix, so therefore she forfeits uksuba, but if she's toifus, then we said she could collect it, but whatever, at least for purposes of Isser Beheter, we consider it like a vadai. The Rambam actually has a unique shitta. He says the whole concept of suffix d'oraisa l'chumra itself is d'rabban. Midaraisa, we wouldn't necessarily say because there's a suffix, we would treat it l'chumra. So therefore, according to him, what we're saying is, in this case, the Torah itself is telling you, treat the suffix as a vada. Unlike in most cases. Anyway, so the Torah is telling you that the suffix is also. When we can't, so now the Braise continues, mikanata don l'sheretz. From here, you can learn a kavachomer to teach about the case of a person with a sheretz, where a person is not sure whether he touched a sheretz. So you can derive the same kind of thing. You can make a kavachomer from a soita. Uma soita shall also be shogig kemezid. Mabek, when it comes to a soita, where shogig is not like mezid, namely, if she had relations with shogig, she doesn't become also to her husband. The onus kerotzen, and similarly, onus is not like rotzen. After all, if she had relations with onus, she would be mutter to her husband, unless her husband is a kohen, of course. And yet, also a sofik kevadai, and yet we're saying the fact that she's a sofik soita is strong enough like a vadai. And again, we're saying that therefore the husband is completely auster to her and he's punishable even for having relations with her and so forth. So then, sheretz, also b'shergig kemezid. So then with a sheretz, it doesn't matter whether a person touches a sheretz b'shergig or b'mezid, b'onus kodotzen. Doesn't matter whether he touched it b'onus or b'dotzen. Ein adin, she also b'sofik kevadai. How much more so that the sofik should be treated like a vadai. And therefore, in other words, if you have a sofik, whether you touched a sheretz, we're going to have to consider it like a vadai. And therefore, you're going to be tomei, and any truma that you touch is going to become tomei and so forth. Tosfos discusses over here that, You have, on the other hand, we learned in Nazir about the concept of Tumas HaTahorim, where we say that they're a suffix, we don't treat it like a suffix, but okay, that's a halacha l'moshe Sinai. You can't slug up a kavah chomer based on halacha l'moshe Sinai. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss other points in it. Again, the Sota has Raglayim Modover, whereas the Sheretz does not. There is quite a bit of lumdus among Rishonim and Achronim about the exact details of the Kavah Chomer that the Gemara is learning over here. One point that they make is that with the Sota, even though we're calling it Tuma, really it's fundamentally more a matter of Isur rather than Tuma. So therefore, it doesn't have to be exactly similar to the Sheretz. It can be close enough for our purposes to make this Zerusha like that. Anyway. So we're learning a Kavah Chomer like that, and we're learning from that a suffix of Tumah with the Sheretz is in fact also. By the way, as far as Shrogig, Rashi points out, we mean not only where she was Shrogig, we can also mean, and in fact, there was a Macholikas Aposkim, if she was Shrogig and he is Mazid, is she also to him? But anyway. She didn't know, but Rashi points out you could also have the case where the man was shogeg. Suppose, for example, that his wife and an Eishes Ish were in the same house, and he meant to have relations with his wife, and instead he walked into the wrong bedroom and had relations with her, and she was shogeg, thinking that it was her husband. So that could be an example of shogeg. We say she's not also her husband.
Yes, one fucking.
Anyway, so the Braisa continues, Umi Mokim Shabasa. Well, from the same place that you're coming to learn from a Sota, and you're saying you're learning from that the concept of Tumah v'Suffik, that we treat the Suffik Sota as a Vadai Sota, we treat her as Vadai also to her husband, and you're learning a Kavah Chomer from that to learn that a Sheretz makes a person Tomei, even when there's a Suffik, then in that case we can learn further. Ma Sota Rishus HaYochid, just like the Sota is, by definition, in a Rishus HaYochid, because it has to be a private area where there could be Stira, the same way the suffix that will make a person tumah from a sheretz is only in Rishus HaYochid. This is where we have the concept of suffix tumah Rishus HaRabim versus Rishus HaYochid. Comes from deriving it from here from the Sota. So again, there is some discussion about this. I mean, in general, a Sota, of course, is a Rishus HaYochid because you have only her and the boil potentially. But you could actually have, there are cases you could have where he warns her not to be alone with two men, and we still consider it, and then we still consider it to be a Sota even if she's alone with the two of them. So you have, there are certain exceptions, but by and large, the case of a Sota is Rishus HaYochid. And that's what we learned in Nazir, for example, that once you have three people in an area, then generally it's considered a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, anyway, we can learn further. Another point we can say that another point is that just like a sota has the das to be asked, it's possible to ask her what happened. Were you mezana or not? Now she may claim that no, and this is when we bring her to go through the sota procedure. But the point is, she has the das at least to be asked. So therefore, sheretz also, when are we saying that suffix tumah would make the person tumah only if he has das to be asked about? So for example, if you have, let's say, so in other words, the suffix would be about a person or kalim or taurus or whatever that a person was handling, where in principle you could ask him, so what happened? Did the sheretz touch it or not? Now he himself may not know, but at least he has the das to know whether he knows or not. As opposed to, for example, if you have, let's say, kalim that was sitting over there in the suite, and then you have a suffix, whether a sheretz touched it or not in the suite, that would be a shesarabim, but you have kalim that was sitting in a house, which is a shesarabim, and you have a suffix, whether a sheretz touched them, the kalim don't have das to show. Therefore, the suffix, therefore they be tahor. That's also alluding from the Sota. Yeah, because the concept of suffix tumah v'rishus HaRabim would apply only when yesh by das lishol, v'rishus HaYochid would apply only when yesh by das lishol.
And by her, by the Sota, we're asking her.
Well, in principle, we can ask her. I mean, she, after all, she can say, yes, I'm guilty. She could say, yes, I'm innocent, and then we take her to bring the Sota, and she may be telling the truth or not. But we're not focusing on whether they're telling the truth. The point is, can we even ask them? In other words, as opposed to a child or a Kaylee or something like that. There are, by the way, there are Achronim will point out that conceivably maybe a Sota could be a child as well. After all, her father could have accepted Kiddushin on her behalf, and then her marriage is valid. D'oraisa. So maybe, I mean, the fact is, if she's Mizana, then on the face of it, she becomes also to her husband, and on the face of it, we should have the Sota procedure. We don't, even if she's a Ketana. So there is discussion about that. Now, again, maybe it's not mapped 100% like the Shredder, so maybe we would say even a cotton to a certain extent, an older child has Das Lishol. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that you can have a Das for this purpose. It doesn't mean the kind of Das that we usually talk about after a boy is 13 or a girl is 12. Even a child younger than that has a certain degree of Das, in particular Lishol, to ask them, did you touch the Shredder or not? So therefore, the same thing could be over here. So we can only, based on this, the Chachamim said the basic concept. When you have someone who is capable of being asked and giving a coherent answer, if the suffix tumor takes place in Rosh Hashanah, then because of the suffix they're tummy, Rosh Hashanah, sveikei toher, and if this happens in Rosh Hashanah, then if the suffix is going to be toher, because again, we have to compare it to the soita, and the soita, almost by definition, is going to be in Rosh Hashanah.
But how's the cable? How is the cable?
As opposed to the cable. As opposed to the she'en by das lishol, the keli, for example, which has no das, to be asked, ben rishas yochid, ben rishas rabim, sveikei toher. Whether we're talking about rishas yochid or rishas rabim, either way, as a result of the suffix, it's going to be toher, because again, it's not similar to the soita, it's not similar to the soita in that regard.
Right, in the keli, no, you can't ask him.
That's the point. In other words, that's what we're distinguishing between das, yesh by das lishol, or ein by das lishol. It doesn't only affect the keli. It would affect also a very small child. It would affect also a cheresh or a shoita or whatever. All of them are capable of becoming tamei, but because they're not das lishol, then the same rule applies. Tosfos discusses over here at some length a couple of ins and outs of this. One thing is that the Gemara elsewhere mentions the concept of suffix tumah b'shas rabim is a we learn from a soita. But in other words, only in a place where there's stira possible, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah. But then why don't we say that she has a cheskas tara? And so Tosfos discusses maybe she doesn't have a chesed, or in general, why don't we say the thing has a cheskas tara, or the person has a cheskas tara? Why do we need to resort to suffix tumah b'shas rabim when we could just say they have a cheskas tara? And then Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of that a little bit, and then goes on to talk about the details of when we say that when you have three people, then you have suffix tumah as tara. You do have some cases actually where you have three people in a place, and you actually do say that suffix tumah is tumah. You have an example, for example, three women where you find a blood stain under one of them, and all three of them might be suffix tumah. So Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of many such dinim. There's whole svarim that have been written on these matters of suffix to analyze all these things of all these cases of suffix and chazaka and all that. Tosfos actually ends up saying the Sota does have a cheskas tara, so therefore, at least when are you going to learn to say that suffix tumah b'shas rabim is tahor, indeed, only if there's a cheskas tara. And that would apply even when ein bo das lishol. So even if you have a keli, for example, if that keli, for whatever reason, has lost its chazaka of tara, then you wouldn't necessarily say that it's tahor b'shas rabim. And there's a lot more that could be talking about, a lot more lumdus about that, but yeah, we'll stop over here, and we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with getting back to the Braisa. Again, we had Rabbi Akiva learning from the words of Nitma'a that she's also, that the three things, that she's also to her husband, to the boil, and to eat truma, and Rabbi Shmuel is answering back with a Kabbal Chomer that tells us that she's also to marry a Kohen. What does one have to do with the other? So we'll take up that point tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Yeah, I know.